Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
It's not very often you're going to hear me say that I'm pretty excited that the Chiefs didn't show up for their game, that they didn't have energy, that they brought absolutely nothing from the get-go. But I feel pretty good about that after it happened Sunday in New Orleans for the first preseason game. I thought it was a complete and total reflection of the offseason, which was one parade, one celebration, one social media boast, one public appearance, one party, one television show being hosted, one golf tournament, one commercial being shot, one social media frenzy after another. The Chiefs have been on a whirlwind. They've been the best team in football now for 4 years. They've won two Super Bowls and were embarrassed in another. They'll get hungry. They are not hungry yet. It's pretty clear the rest of the league is, and the rest of the league is targeting the Kansas City Chiefs. For the New Orleans Saints and Carr, the quarterback that came over from the Raiders, well, a preseason game looked like their Super Bowl. They clearly, the entire offseason and through camp, had thought about the Chiefs are coming, and this is the measuring stick. Let's go out, let's play hard in front of our fans, and let's put it to them. And the ones did that against the Chiefs. Chiefs weren't completely embarrassed, but it was close. It wasn't like they were Keystone Cops. They seemed to know their assignments. The defense didn't hit. They weren't interested in tackling. The offensive line didn't block much. Patrick Mahomes scrambled once, which he should never have done in this game, trying to get a first down because he did bring some energy that his teammates did not bring to this game. And it really left the quarterback in a precarious spot where he could have gotten hurt in an absolutely meaningless game. There was a lot to dislike about the Kansas City Chiefs showing up in New Orleans. Why do I like that? This team needs a slap in the face. Hell, they might need a kick in the ass. They needed this in the worst possible way. We're not going to worry about Mahomes. We're not going to worry about Travis Kelce. I'm not even worried about Chris Jones because I think he's coming in and I think he's going to be a force and a good player. The rest of these guys, how do they handle it? Many of them, heck, most of them, weren't on the Chiefs' first Super Bowl team. They don't know how to deal with success. They don't know how to prepare for starting all over again where you're the hunted and you're not hunting anyone, that they're all coming after you. This is a good thing. I've never been a believer in a 20-game schedule, which is what the Chiefs have, 17 regular, 3 preseason, that for 20 straight games, you're going to come out of the gate at kickoff and have more energy than your opponent. I don't believe that. I think it'll be about 50-50 for the Chiefs. What's great about the Chiefs is at least half the games where they don't bring the energy at the start and they fall behind, they come back and win because they have a creative offense, they have Andy Reid's genius play calling, and they have Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't good enough in this game. The twos and the threes came on, and it became kind of wild, and the Chiefs schemed their way to some plays and had a chance to win, if not for a stupid play late. We won't really delve in much on the outcome of this contest. But what we'll look at is say this is one game where the other team really, from the start, they're high-paid players. They're big-timers. They're stars. And every team in this league has really great players and really big stars. That doesn't mean they're as good as the Chiefs. And they may go 4-13, but they all have great players. And their best players in New Orleans brought it on this game Sunday, and the Chiefs did not. That didn't bother me. I think it's a great wake-up call. I think it's a reminder of how tough the league can be. I think they've got a lot to look at and a lot to talk about. Remember when the Chiefs used to do this in the preseason or early in the regular season? They would play the Patriots in week 5 and come out and score 38 points. You go, wow, look at those Chiefs. Is Tom Brady going to retire? That's been 10 years ago. And people would say, Brady's done. Look what happened to him at Arrowhead. Then January would come along and the Chiefs were absolutely no factor at all. That's kind of what the Saints reminded me of, although the Saints clearly look like they could win their division this year. No doubt about that. And the NFC is weak compared to the AFC, if for no other reason, just the quarterbacks. Andy had an off day, too. He made a very silly call on a 4th-and-inches on the first drive of the game. Chiefs could have gone down and scored a touchdown. Really was only going to take one Patrick Mahomes throw to make us feel completely differently about the Chiefs' first-teamers. That didn't happen, and I'm kind of glad it didn't happen. And getting stuffed at midfield on a silly play that Andy called on the little snap to the tight end thing was perfectly indicative of how the Chiefs approached this game. We'll talk with Stan Weber in a few minutes because I think the biggest question the Chiefs had last year and the biggest question they have this year is short yardage offense. It always has to be gadgety, and I don't understand it. If the Chiefs have the offensive line they say they have, and everybody in the NFL thinks it's a top five offensive line, why do the Chiefs constantly have to go to gadget plays on fourth and inches? Of course you have Mahomes, and of course you've got a lot of different options, and you can trick your way to easy first downs. Why can't the Chiefs just once, especially in a preseason game, put Mahomes in the shotgun on fourth and inches so he doesn't get hit, snap it to him and let him hand it to a running back and see if they can block their way to a foot? Is that too much to ask? I know, I'm not trying to play old school football, but there's times where you just need to line up and do that, and the Chiefs clearly didn't believe they could do that in this game. We'll also talk with Stan about the wide receiver core, the big play by Khalif Helaisi, if I'm saying that right, the cornerback that made the big interception in the game, and the defensive line play without Chris Jones. That's coming right up. I thought there was some big news made during the game, during the broadcast, when Trent Green was on the television broadcast with Chiefs president Mark Donovan, and they began talking about the team, the issues, trying to sell Billy Joel tickets and Beyonce tickets. They eventually got to stadium renovations. And I swear I heard Mark Donovan say they're renovating Arrowhead twice. I swear I heard that. He said, well, we have the world. We know they have to take out like 15 rows of seats in the lower bowl of Arrowhead for the World Cup. We know they have to do that. Nobody's ever said how that's getting paid for. Nobody has ever discussed how that's getting. Now, that's 3 years away, folks, and that's a small project compared to a complete stadium renovation, but it is a pretty big deal. Going in and carving out concrete and taking seats out and ripping stuff out so you can have a soccer tournament for fans coming from around the world that can't find Kansas City on a map is silly to me. It's un-Chiefs-like, it's un-Kansas City-like, it's un-NFL-like. I am not on board with the World Cup. I'm not, and here's why. Nobody's ever said who's paying for any of this. Nobody. We've not heard one word about it. We've watched the city council approve millions and millions of dollars of Kansas City, Missouri money now to the World Cup. Why? For what? This is political and business and social elites hosting their favorite little sport for the global elites to come in so the people in Kansas City can feel like they're as cool as people in New York and San Francisco. That's what this is. This is a silly play. Kansas City doesn't belong in the World Cup. We got in because we bought our way in. Make no mistake about it, other cities bigger and better than Kansas City for the World Cup said, no way, that is too much money. We are not doing that. That's a money loser. That's a loss. That's a bad thing for our city. Most cities in America, our size, certainly had no chance and said, no way we're doing this. But our city said yes, even though they won't tell us where the money's coming from. What I heard Mark Donovan say for the first time on the television broadcast on Sunday was, well, we have to renovate the stadium first for the World Cup, and then the lease runs through 2031, so we'll have to circle back and then renovate Arrowhead for football. I promise I heard him say, they're going to renovate this twice. Here's the bait and switch. Here's what they always do. They're going to make this one vote. It's going to be one vote for hundreds of millions of your dollars and say, we're renovating Arrowhead because the lease expires in 2031. This is what they're going to say. It expires. And listen, I believe the Hunts are going to put a lot of their own money in. I have no doubt about that. They're not cheap. Chiefs are not cheap. They're not the Royals. They're not cheap. They spent way more renovating Arrowhead before than the Royals did. And I believe Clark will put a lot of his money in because they have a lot of money. Then they have the best team and revenue streams like never before. They have a lot of money to put into Arrowhead. And it sounds like they want to renovate, not build new. And if that's their choice, they're going to put something on the ballot that really only says this is one issue on the ballot, and that is the Chiefs, Arrowhead Stadium, the lease expires in 7 years. We've got to do this. Pass this now to keep your Super Bowl winning team here, and they're going to use a big part of the money to bring soccer to Arrowhead Stadium that not one single freaking Chiefs fan wants. That's a grift. That's a ruse. I heard the man say it. We're going to have to renovate for soccer first and then renovate for football. Oh, and he said it'll be glorious. I can't even tell you how great. What in the world are they going to do to Arrowhead to renovate it that it's going to turn it into a completely new stadium? I'm really curious what that's going to be. Aren't you? Here's the problem they've got. They could say they want to build a new stadium, but they've got a big problem on their hands. They've got the World Cup coming. They need money to do that. They need money to retrofit the stadium for soccer. And then if they do that while they're building a new stadium, they still have to do something with Arrowhead because now they've lost 15 rows of seats all the way around the bowl. They're not going to do that. They're not losing that football revenue with those seats. They want something instantly, as soon as soccer is over, to be ready to play football where they were missing seats. And they want your money to do it. And so, this is not a good idea. The Chiefs have decided, if we're going to do this, we'll just do it all as one Arrowhead renovation plan. We'll take whatever money we need to pull off the soccer, we'll use the rest of the money toward Arrowhead, and we'll just keep it all right here. When actually, truly building a new stadium is the right thing to do. Honest to goodness, it is. If you're watching what's happening in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, what Tennessee is going to be doing in Nashville, if you're looking at these new stadiums, it is a new era in football stadiums. It just is. It's a new era. It's a new thing. I love Arrowhead. I like the outdoor stadium. I like all of that. It probably is the wrong business decision and the wrong decision for Kansas City to have great events and things here. Besides, they could build a really cool stadium that opens up and is outdoor. They could do that. There's a lot of things they could do other than renovate. But it sounded to me like, listening to Mark Vonovan's words, that the Chiefs are stuck in renovation mode because we signed on for the World Cup. Can you even imagine? All right, we'll get on to football in a moment with Stan Weber, brought to you by 360documentsolutions.com. That is 360documentsolutions.com. For any great business like yours in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, they'd love to help you with your machines, your hardware, man. Copiers, printers, voiceover, IP, phone systems. They really bring the service at 360 Document Solutions. Many of you are with big companies. You know the big companies, the big business machine companies, the big X companies. They'll sell you some stuff, but then you don't know how to make it work. Sometimes you can't even figure out how to get, if something gets jammed and it locks up, who do you call? You don't know. You have to call somebody that didn't sell it to you, put you way behind on the list to come by and see. That's not 360. If you do 360, they are 360. Every single thing to do with the office machines that you have, they sell, they service, they stand by them, they save you money, they work with you to make you more efficient, more productive. I'm telling you, you will never meet anybody like Mark Lindquist. This guy is such a stickler for detail. Love that about him. And he loves that about doing it for your business. 360documentsolutions.com, 913-745-5344. Back 9 Development, Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Oh, man, they're just building some beautiful properties around Kansas City with Back 9 Development. They've acquired some land near Lansing. They're going to be offering a little bit in a few months, some incredible one-acre-plus lots there that folks can build on. If you have a dream, or if you're wanting to get out of the city a little bit, if you're wanting to get some more open air and get away from the nonsense of our city, you might want to call TJ. He knows where the land is, he knows where the cool stuff is, and he loves the fresh air and open spaces. If you want to protect yourself, have a beautiful, safe home, maybe even build yourself a great gun safe or gun cabinet, Back 9 Development will work with you on anything you want to do with your home. Back9development.com. TJ Vilkanskis can be reached at 785-236-0161. It was my honor to have lunch with his entire team last week here in Kansas City. We went to Slaps Barbecue, met with, there's five or six of them, really nice folks. And these are absolute pros. You're going to love the work they do at back9development.com. Every single customer is so important, and you get personal attention. We love that about the sponsors of KKHI, and nobody delivers more than back9development.com. Call TJ at 785-236-0161. And the Finch Knife Company, nothing says America more than the different series of knives they have at Finch Knife Co. Right now they're featuring the Hatfields and the McCoys, the Flint Series, and the Shiv. You want to see them all? They're online at finchknifeco.com. They even do it with a little sense of humor. Every single pocket knife they ship comes with a Band-Aid. That's how sharp they are. It's 154-centimeter U.S. steel blades. Every single model is designed right here in Kansas City. Spencer and Steve are just incredible at what they do. And this is their act two. This is their second business together. They've been up for about, well, I think about 4 or 5 years now they've been in business. They are now nationwide. Of course, you're global if you're selling online. They're in a lot of great stores here in the Kansas City area, like Shields, The Bullet Hole, and Teague Tractor. Keep life from getting dull with a new Finch pocket knife. You deserve it, and maybe you're a collector. Get a case, get them all. Show them off. I would. They are that gorgeous. They are a fraction of the cost of their competitors. They really, truly are. FinchKnifeCo.com. Keep life from getting dull. Life is never dull with Stan Weber, and he's going to be joining us all season long on KKHI. We're going to do it a little differently this year. He won't always be on Mondays after Chiefs games, and he won't always be on after games. Sometimes he'll be on before. We've heard from many of you that have emailed and said, we love hearing what Stan has to say he thinks is going to happen this week, depending on the college football schedule, the Chiefs game coming up, things like that. Nobody knows it better. Nobody is smarter at knowing what's going to happen in a football game and what a matchup looks like than Stan. So we're going to split it up a little more this year than last. It's going to be a hit and miss schedule. We will let you know when Stan Weber is on, because not hit and miss. He's going to be on every week. It's just some weeks it will be a preview and some it will be post. This particular week, Stan's going to be on twice. We're going to have him on right now to talk about what he saw with the Chiefs and Saints. Then we're going to have him on later in the week to talk about game two of the preseason before it happens and what he's going to be looking for. See there? We're going to mix and match with our man Stan Weber on KKHI. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, it's just great to have Stan back, and it's great to have football back, and they're one in the same. Hello, Stan Weber. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Good to talk to you and all the listeners on KK Has Issues. So it's been a little while. I assume you still have issues.
You know, I do have issues. You know me well enough. We've all got issues, but I've certainly got mine. One issue I don't have is, this is the first time, this is a revelation in my marriage. You're going to love this, Dan. This is unbelievable. I actually got Jessica into the preseason this year. It is amazing. She's at the very beginning, when the first couple games came on, she was making fun of me. And by the end of the weekend, because the Chiefs played last, by the time Sunday at noon rolled around, she's ready. She wants to see the Chiefs play because she's been watching me watch all these other games. I can't believe she's into the preseason. This is awesome.
Yes, the next level of interest comes when you win world championships, right? And yeah. You have celebrations. And remember how popular the Royals were? I had a lady in my office who, we got along great, but she said she didn't like sports at all. I mean, that was fine. We got along fine. And then the Royals go to the World Series in 14 and start playing well. And she knew every batter from first all the way through the end and was very proud of it. And I go, wow, this is a community asset right here. These Royals playing great baseball. And the Chiefs are a national asset, maybe worldwide, right? I mean, they are the hottest thing. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm not surprised. And also, by the way, I'm going to give a little credit to this. It's nice watching a preseason game at noon on Sunday, yeah, when NFL games should be played, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, Thursday night at 9 o'clock in a West Coast game or something, just doesn't seem like NFL football. So I'm going to say, Jessica, not surprised. You get excited, especially when there's a kickoff at noon on Sunday. You got to get revved up, man. That's when you're like Pavlov's dog. You're, yeah, saying time to go.
She watched halftime and loved the Travis Kelce feature where he's mic'd up. She can't stop talking about it. She cannot stop talking about halftime of a Chiefs preseason game. But I digress. I have previously, since before you came on here, Stan, I said I was actually excited that the Chiefs were not ready to play. I thought it was reflective of their silly offseason, which is just fine with me because they've got plenty of time to get ready for the regular season. But a slap in the face or a kick in the rear or whatever that was for the ones yesterday was a welcome sight for me. You're not always going to be up more than your opponent. This was a perfect time to be flat and realize you're going to have to bring it. What did you take away from the way the ones played?
Well, there definitely was a flatness about it and almost a lack of seriousness, I thought, to start. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it was like a comeback show. Let's give him the ball the first few times and make everyone feel good about him coming back to the Superdome, where he was so famous in that area in Baton Rouge in Louisiana, an LSU player. So you're saying, okay, like, what are we doing here? Are you getting ready for a trade opportunity later in preseason, or are you just rewarding him? And it just seemed like the Chiefs are in such a hot rhythm right now, they can mess with people. It's almost like, yeah, let's have a little message. Let's let Clyde Edwards-Helaire do some things to start off. So to me, it just didn't seem completely serious, but the team was definitely flat. and they weren't ready to play. And like you said, this could be a very good thing because we overreact to every opening day baseball game. We overreact to the first preseason game. And are we worried? What about this? What about that? I mean, these guys hardly play. Most teams don't even put their starters out for one or two series. The Chiefs actually do that. This is very old school. You know, this is like Marty Schottenheimer. Andy Reid actually let Patrick Mahomes go out on the field, and he scrambled one time, Kevin. Most coaches in the NFL are going, I never would let that happen. But you got to play football to get ready, and you got to be ready to be great. And the thing that you're focusing in on is that last statement I made, you got to be ready to be great. And I think this could be a great learning opportunity where Andy Reid can kind of go back, even that late interception where they threw a pass, it got intercepted. He could look at clock management. He could look at play calling. Everybody from himself through the offensive coordinator all the way through the roster can say, that is not Chiefs football. And they can bounce back from it. But it was probably hard to erase all the fun they're having. I mean, these guys have just lived a charmed life with the Super Bowl ring ceremony, how much they're wanted to be around when you're a Kansas City Chiefs. And then obviously the Stars are just having so much fun, such a big national figure. Obviously, and every commercial has Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce's worldwide known. You know, these things have been very, very good, but you got to get back to playing football, being physical, and being serious. And I think that this is probably the best thing ever. You know, you don't plan it out. You don't ever put adversity in play. You never said for your kids, I hope they have some adversity. I'm going to create some adversity. No, but when they have it, then what do you think? You know, 2 weeks later, well, that was the best thing ever. For them to have to hit that reset button. The Chiefs need to hit the reset button. 23 seasons, brand new. That was a bad performance by the starters. The defense got run over. Two touchdown drives by New Orleans. They had two legitimate NFL quarterbacks. You know, when they brought their backup in, they still had an NFL-level quarterback starter coming out playing against the Chiefs defense. But you don't need excuses. That was a flat start by the Chiefs, and it's great for Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the whole coaching staff to go, this doesn't cut it, guys. Yeah. This is going to be – there's going to be a lot of late-night talks this week, Kevin.
I agree.
In St. Joe about this does not cut it.
Yeah, and Mahomes said as much after the game. He said, listen, we got a whole bunch of guys here that got to realize we have a target on our back. And Mahomes was one of the guys that did bring energy. He shouldn't have scrambled, but he did. Okay, that's him. I think he recognized there was some flatness around him. He took off and he ran, and he should not have done that, but he did. And then he called his teammates out, and I don't know what the final numbers will be. But, you know, most of this roster, there's going to be a whole bunch of guys on this roster that were on the Super Bowl roster last year, but most of those guys weren't on the first Super Bowl winning roster. There's very few guys left from that team that won the first Super Bowl. And I think the strong message here from Patrick Mahomes to teammates is, if you want to try to win another one, if you were here last year, it ain't easy. It took us, you know, three more years to come back and win another one, and we got embarrassed in the Super Bowl between the two. All right? This is hard work. And I think that was a very strong message from Patrick Mahomes, which is another step in his maturation. Now, he still plays like a kid, and he cheers on the sideline like a kid, and all these other things, but his words sound a lot more like a veteran than they used to.
No doubt. He understands all this, and the turnover is just amazing. You think the Chiefs are the Chiefs because Andy Reid's there and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. That's another whole story, right? Chris Jones situation. But when you look at this football team and you know the NFL, there's giant turnover. Hardly anybody was involved in each of those two Super Bowls. And so Patrick's absolutely a veteran now. It's hard to believe that he's played as many years as he has. You start thinking about it and you go, Patrick Mahomes, are you kidding me? He's in his seventh year as a Kansas City Chief? No way. And sixth year getting to be a starter for the Chiefs. So they grow up fast in the NFL. Fortunately, NFL quarterbacks last a long time, so we're not talking about the end of Patrick Mahomes' career, but he definitely is like a coach on the field and has an unbelievable ability, probably the best I've ever seen, to relate to the guys who want to have fun and are young and think it's easy and need to have excitement and confidence that way, and then the seriousness with which you must play and be a coach-like player on the field. That's been easier for guys to grasp when you think about Sean Elway or Tom Brady or Roger Staubach, you know, you go down the line, they get to be serious grown-ups in the room, but they don't have as much fun with the young guys. Patrick Mahomes does both. I mean, he is the life of the party in the locker room and the most serious on-target coach-like guy when he speaks. It is an unbelievable combination in addition to how hard he's worked and how much talent he has, hand-eye coordination, it's behind the pack passes or whatever it is. No, he just is hitting on all cylinders. And when he speaks, you better listen because he does say stuff. A lot of these guys learn to say nothing.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes actually says stuff. Every interview I hear him say something and I go, that is so truthful. I'm surprised that he let that out to the public. But he's very truthful, very real, and he understands that you got to be ready to roll. And I thought he was.
Yeah.
He was the one guy. Did you see him on the sideline
yes.
before he went out on the field? He had sweat running down his face.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a guy who warmed up to play a real game.
I love
the way he didn't say, I'm going to be out there for five plays and I'm out of here. He took it seriously, but I'm not sure everyone else did.
I loved how excited he got celebrating his teammates' plays later on in the game. I he was still into it, and I thought that was pretty cool. The only real takeaway I have from this game to regular season as far as, you know, style of play, X's and O's, weakness, that sort of thing, had to do with the short yardage play on the when the ones were in and the cute little thing they tried to do with the tight end that we've seen him do before. It was fourth down and 6 inches, and the Chiefs have this big offensive line that everybody rates in the top five in the NFL. They were not any good at short yardage last year. I think they were third to last in the NFL in short yardage conversions last year. Why in the world, Andy Reid was an offensive lineman, why in the world can the Chiefs not develop short yardage offense that is something a little more simple where they hand it to a running back? If they've got this big, expensive offensive line and all these guys, how come they can't get first downs on fourth and short in an easy way without trying to do something tricky?
They love trickiness, first of all. You know, they've been pretty cute. This whole Patrick Mahomes run, and I'm not talking about because he quarterback sneaked and got hurt in Denver and they're not going to do that anymore. We know that story, Kevin. And that takes away your best option, right? I mean, the easiest is get up there in the offensive line. You can change your count and get off the ball and make a first down pretty easy like Jalen Hurts does. Well, the Chiefs aren't going to do that. And it appears that Bell, who used to play quarterback as the belldozer for Oklahoma, normally out of the shotgun, doesn't have a comfort level of quarterback sneaking. It's a skill level that's kind of interesting, not really a high requirement for your position as an NFL player. But think about how Tom Brady didn't run the football, Kevin, but he is the best quarterback sneaker there's been in NFL history. He always made it and knew different ways of getting it done. It just seems like Blake Bell doesn't have that natural feel.
Okay.
I mean, how do you get stoned right there?
Let me ask you something then, because I've thought about this over the years, and it sounds crazy to take Patrick Mahomes off the field. Blaine Gabbert's a big kid, all right? And I'm going to guess he'd be pretty good at the quarterback sneak. And we know he can hand the ball off and he can run an offense and do different plays. What would be wrong with bringing the quarterback sneak into your offense on fourth and short and having Blaine Gabbert under center? You're paying the guy money. He's never going to get on the field unless Mahomes gets hurt. If he can get you these easy first downs, why wouldn't you use a guy like that?
Well, I think there are a lot of complications. I mean, one, the Chiefs would say that takes away our whole playbook for other things that we might do. But it is hard, Kevin, when you have short yardage situations to put your hands underneath the butt of that center and have everything go smoothly, because the guards normally line up about a foot, foot and a half outside of their closest foot to the center is a ways away. But when you get in short yardage, everybody squeezes everything down. It's very nerve-wracking, and they don't even take snaps underneath center that much now, Kevin. So it's risky to bring in a new quarterback.
Okay.
Because how he puts his hands underneath the center, it's different.
Okay.
If the guy is coming out there for his first play, it's the worst play in the world to be in goal line. I would not mess with that.
I hear all that. And I don't think I would either. And I hear what you're saying, okay? I don't want anybody to say this is not the hill I'm going to die on. But here's what I think it is. I think it's just, it's protocol. You don't take your star quarterback off the field. It's not allowed. We see this crap in baseball all the time, and it's finally starting to break down in baseball, but it has not broken down in football. You don't take your quarterback off the field. It's like it's some sort of an insult or something to the quarterback. Well, if you've got a quarterback that you don't want to risk the quarterback sneak with, I mean, seriously, the number one reason is, let's be honest, the number one reason is you can't take Patrick Mahomes off the field. That's the number one reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're fine. You can stop right there. You don't need to go into the intricacies I'm talking about. But it is hard. I took snaps underneath the center every time, and yet when it was fourth down or goal line, it was a completely different situation. Everybody's more nervous. Everyone's more tight. It's harder to get that snap, so it's all dangerous. You know, you said one thing, Kevin, there that, you know, there was a takeaway to focus in on a preseason, and we mentioned a couple. We talked about how this is a good reset for the Chiefs, getting embarrassed the way they did early in the game, Let everybody know this is not how the Chiefs come to play. They'll learn from that. You mentioned this subject. There's a third one I think that is very, very important and for us to point out. And that is Steve Spagnuolo on the defensive side is a great chef in the kitchen. Okay. He can cook up some really exotic stuff and he's aggressive and will try combinations that others won't. But for the Chiefs defense to be successful, Kevin, they've got to play it like that. And that was shown very well early. Everyone's going to say it's just because Chris Jones was not on the field. And don't get me wrong. He probably made some extra money by the Chiefs having two touchdown drives against them very easily. And everyone thinking that's all because Chris Jones wasn't on the field. But that was not it, Kevin. That's not the main thing you need to focus in on. What you see right there is this Chiefs defense, if they play base defense, they can get run over. They're not that great. They look great and play with more confidence when they blitz and are exotic and come with all kinds of craziness. And you know what changed when the Chiefs started playing better? Is when Steve Spagnuolo started calling defense like it was a regular season game. I mean, the Chiefs were coming from everywhere.
They did.
And when they did that, the backups even look okay. But here's a point to take to the regular season. The Chiefs have not taken that step on defense to be an elite team. They're at the back end of elite teams on defense, Kevin. I know Bolton's better. There's a lot of places you can look and say the Chiefs have gotten better. But they still need some exotics and unbelievable creation from their defensive coordinator to keep teams off balance. That's part of football. I'm not cutting them down, but they are not so good. Don't get in your mind that the Chiefs defense is now so solid with all those young rookies that played last year, going to be better this year. All those things are fine, but they're not dominant yet unless Steve Spagnuolo makes unbelievable calls. So go just watch early in the game. Compare the game changed when Spagnuolo said, nope, I'm going to start sending some dude.
Yeah.
And then they started blowing up the Saints.
And to be fair, there's no worse assignment statistically than being the Chiefs defense. And here's why. If you're trying to stat out against other teams, your biggest problem is you play every great quarterback in the NFL. Your schedule's harder than anybody else's. You're in the AFC, and you have leads late, which means you're playing soft and giving up late touchdowns and a whole bunch of yards. The Chiefs have no chance of statting out well defensively. I've given up on that. But because we really even want them to, Stan. That's really not what they do. Their job is, late in the game, protect the lead. If you're up 10 and you got to, you know, make the team use 3.5 minutes to go down and get a touchdown and pull within three with 48 seconds to go, you'll take that. That's a win for a defense. You made them use a bunch of clock. Don't give up the big play. The Chiefs' defensive assignments are unlike any other team in the league. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree with that concept without a doubt. It's almost like arena football mentality. Get us a turnover here once in a while. Think about Bolton's scoop and score against the Eagles really being the difference in the game. Get a sack once in a while, Chris Jones, or used to be Frank Clark, get a sack, get a blitz, get back there and get a sack. Get a sack once in a while, sacks create punts, get a turnover, little momentum change, bleed the clock late in the game, make them use a lot of time, throw underneath, all those kind of things. That's what the Chiefs defense needs to do to win as a team. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But I think some people are starting to get a confidence level. I'm pointing out that, oh man, the Chiefs defense is Super Bowl level also. And they're just like that magical offense. They're not.
They can't be.
Go back. They won a Super Bowl last year in a year that four teams could have easily raised a flag as Super Bowl champions, right, and it wouldn't have been a fluke. Legitimate teams, and actually you could say five, legitimate teams could have won the Super Bowl last year, and the Chiefs did. I'm not going to say they stole one, but they took advantage of a year where they were just like the rest of the group and won a championship. That is really cool. That's a compliment.
Yes.
That's what the New England Patriots did all the time. But because we celebrated so much and so long, and it's the second Super Bowl, and we feel so good about where Andy Reid is and Patrick Mahomes and all of that, I think Chiefs fans are starting to think this is easy. Like, oh, we are so much better than everybody else. And I just want to point out, the defense needs Spagnuolo to be super aggressive and outsmart the opponent for them to function at a Super Bowl level.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, one last thing on the Chiefs here before we get into some college football and things going on there, Stan. Any takeaways from the wide receivers? A lot of people talk about Justin Ross. It was emotional for him to get out on the field. He hasn't played in 22 months or whatever after so many injuries. But I don't even know that he's going to make the team at this point. The wide receivers, not really that impressive of a group. We didn't see much really in this game. Do you have any takeaway on the wide receiver room?
I think if they get to be where Patrick Mahomes knows where they're going to be on a reliable basis, they're I hate to cut those guys down because, you know, but I think that you're going to see a lot of different receivers roll through here throughout Patrick Mahomes' career, and they're not all going to need to be Tyreek Hill. So I think they're very solid. The cuts are going to be hard. Like, do you keep seven? Do you keep six? Who's going to be the eighth guy? There are a lot of guys who are very solid that show just fine. Are all of them in a category, or any of them in a category that just scares an opponent? No. The Chiefs do not have guys right now that are going to scare the opponents. From MVS, you know, the most reliable starter, if it's Sky Moore. But I thought Justin Watson, you can always count on him. Richie James showed some things. Justin Ross showed you that he has athletic ability. Heck, Powell looked like he might be able to play, and the list goes on and on and on. So the Chiefs have a good amount of depth at the wide receiver. Injuries will not be an issue at the wide receiver position this year, because I think they got plenty of guys and they become interchangeable. This is about Andy Reid drawing up plays. This is about Travis Kelce being dominant and always having double coverage coming his way, and Patrick Mahomes being unbelievably awesome. The receivers will function just fine. The Chiefs will score points, but I'm completely indifferent about which one's on the field. I mean, just give me Sky Moore 1 week, Justin Ross the next week, MVS. You know, it just doesn't matter. Richie James, I thought the rookie is going to be fine from SMU. Always felt comfortable with what he can do as well. And he was out there, Rashee Rice, he was doing just fine. I think the receivers are going to be good, but not dominant. No one's going to get scared of the wide receivers. It's going to take Patrick Mahomes' magic to get them going. But I was not disappointed in the guys. I mean, the receivers didn't disappoint me out there.
I'm not so sure that's not the best way to do it. And we saw that last year. You know, when Tyreek Hill was here, he was great. But the four or five games a year where the other teams took Tyreek Hill out of the game, the Chiefs struggled at times. And I think having a multitude of options is maybe a really good thing for the Chiefs. But we'll see. I'm not completely sold on the entire room. We'll see if these guys can get on the same page. Stan, let's do a flyover of college football. It's going to start well before. It's starting this week, man. It's on. College football games are coming, and they're coming fast. We got them coming up this weekend. So the big offseason story was obviously realignment. The Big 12 is a winner. You and I may be the only two people in Kansas City media that were absolutely convinced that the Big 12 was never going away. I never saw any chance of Oklahoma and Texas ever going to the Pac-12. That never made any sense. So the fact that they went to the SEC, okay. College athletics matters more in the Midwest part of the country than it does on the Pacific Coast. That's clearly obvious now. That's reflected in television viewership, ticket sales, merchandise sales, every metric that there is around college football and basketball. The Midwest does better than the West Coast, even though there aren't as many people in some of these places. So I always felt like the answer was the Big 12 was going to be okay. They had a fabulous offseason. We've got four new schools coming in, four more next year. Now we've learned over the weekend that the ACC has voted on Stanford and Cal to join the ACC, which is completely bizarre. But I guess if these conferences were all going to get bigger and you had to get bigger to stay afloat, ultimately you were going to have to go from five conferences to four at some point. What are your thoughts on the way this has all played out, and what do you think the future of college football is?
You mentioned that you and I had spoken seriously about this, and all you got to do is think about, if you're a loyal listener to Kevin Keatsman and his Between the Lines show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, we were there on a Friday afternoon when people were reporting around the nation that there were hints, you know, smoke in the air. So is there a fire that the Pac-12 is about ready to steal Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Texas Tech and go to the Pac-12? And the Big 12 was in big, big trouble. And this is already after teams like Missouri and Nebraska had moved on. You know, this is in Colorado, A&M. This is the last blow. This is over. That was their thought process. And we were live on the air having to decide on record what we thought at that time, with the heat just pouring in. And both you and I didn't waver and said, no, the Pac-12 has problems. It is the weakest conference. I mentioned that their new commissioner, Larry Scott, was dealing information and a dream that wasn't true. He wasn't going to deliver on it. Is there a person who's more disrespected today in 2023 than Mr. Scott right now? He did some deals. You got to get into the details. 12 has a giant debt that they took money from a television network that they weren't supposed to get, and they are supposed to be giving it back. They got a big liability that they've got to pay out of their conference. It's just a mess out there. But you and I, even back in 2011, whenever that was, were sitting there talking Like, this is the way, if you have to make a choice, and we didn't necessarily want to make a choice. The Big 12 should be fine. The Pac-12 should be fine. Let's get to work. The ACC should be fine. Let's have nice conferences around the country, and let's get to work. But if you're going to start wanting to blow things up and move toward one of the conferences falling out, it should be the Pac-12. We've said it then, and we've said it all along. They do not care out there. They were about ready to sign a contract that was streaming only. No linear TV. It was streaming only, and it's basically, we'll pay you $20 million, later maybe moved up to 25, but you might make as much as 50 if you can get enough people to subscribe. Well, guess what? The presidents and chancellors knew there's no way the people in the West Coast are going to subscribe to a level to get them big money. They immediately, when they heard that final presentation, said, we got to get out of here. And they moved toward the Big 12 or the Big 10, first of all, Oregon and Washington. So things have really blown up. It's gotten crazy. I've always felt like the Big 12 had a good position in this mixture. Always felt that way, Kevin. And in the end, it really played out where we have passion about football. We have fans that go to games. We have high-level football and people who care about it. It's great television. We have a good time slot. We can start at 11 in the morning. We can start at 7 or 8 at night. We can fill the television network's needs for a long part of the day in the original, in the Big 12 we've been living with the last 5 or 6 years, right? We can do that. But you know what else we have that very few others have? We have a passion about basketball. Big Monday on ESPN is a feature item on the television calendar each basketball season. In the Big 12, no matter where they go, the gyms are going to be rocking and people care. I think the Big 10 and the Big 12 are the only two conferences, Kevin, that have that, that both care about football in a giant way. That's what matters the most for money and basketball, which helps our television requirements. And we become a valued asset. And it all played out that way. I feel very good about where the Big 12 is right now. I wish no conference had to blow up, but if there was one that was weak, it has always been the Pac-12, and they have fallen apart. What's interesting and what's brewing now is the ACC has a contract that certain teams are not happy with, and their rights have been tied down, grants of rights, a legal situation. The lawyers do a good job of saying that your games, your home games, are owned by the ACC as far as getting money for that product from television networks or streamers, that kind of thing. That goes through the 35 football season, Kevin. And the ACC is not getting paid that much money. They're worried about being passed up by the Big 12. And so you got some loudmouth teams like Florida State saying, we want out of this conference. Their lawyers are looking through every document, trying to find in the fine print somewhere that they can break away and get out of the conference. So the ACC is trying to decide what they're going to do. And ESPN is their partner. ESPN owns half of the ACC network. They're the ones who kept thinking, hey, could you add a little Pac-12 juice to our television network? They're the ones who keep saying, hey, ACC, why don't you look west? So if you want to understand why would the ACC want Stanford and Cal, it's because ESPN says, hey, let's get some more product and bring it in for our television network. And will they pay the ACC more or not? Well, they control that. But the ACC they want to blow up right now. And if they do, if that's the next step, Kevin, I don't know how it will happen. But North Carolina is a perfect team to go to the Big Ten. They care about academics. Maybe they bring Duke along with them. Florida State, Clemson, Miami, those are the football schools that don't care about basketball as much. They're wanting out, and they all hope, well, we're going to get invited to the SEC. Well, Kevin, they may not get invited to the SEC. You know, South Carolina wants no part of Clemson in their state in the SEC. Florida wants no part of Florida State in the SEC. So what will the SEC do? If they don't take these schools and they're able to blow the ACC up anytime in the next 10 years or so, those teams are going to be looking to get in the Big 12 as well. So the Big 12 is in a position in a very good spot, Kevin. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with 20 teams here. You know, Big 10 already has 18. I wouldn't be surprised if these teams continue to grow to 20. And unfortunately, there are winners and losers right now. In the losers category are Oregon State and Washington State at the highest level, and Cal's at another level of risk, slightly better than the first two. And Stanford thinks of themselves kind of as an independent school. They'll probably make do and either become a Notre Dame or find a conference. But this thing has all sorted out. The explosions that started occurring sometime during the 2000s, right, have continued to go. And I don't know what you think, Kevin. Here's my statement. I feel better next year, not this season, but next year, I feel better about the Big 12 the competition level, the security that's there for the future than I did when Oklahoma and Texas were part of our conference.
Sure.
That seems so illogical.
Yeah.
But I feel about the conference.
It's going to be great parity.
And think about the competition in football and basketball. Parity like the NFL.
It's going to be great. Yes, a lot of parity. It's going to be so good. And I don't know what the future is and what it holds, whether we go to 20-team leagues and things of that nature. Probably because everybody wants to get bigger, but it's a wild time. We're only about 10 or 11 days away from football, buddy. That's all I know. We got real games coming, and we're going to talk with you again later this week. We'll preview the Chiefs this weekend. We'll see what happens the next few days in camp, and we'll chat later in the week, and we'll focus in a little bit more on what to look for in the Chiefs in their last couple of games, Stan. I'm so excited to have you back, man, and I know we're going to be moving around a little bit this year, different days of the week and stuff. So we had a lot of people email us and say they want to hear your thoughts on upcoming games, not just the ones we just saw. So we're gonna move you around like a utility guy, but you are not a utility guy. You're our franchise player. I want you to know that.
Well, thanks, Kevin. It's always a joy to talk to you about anything and everything, but especially when you add my favorite sports and football and bring it together with what about those Kansas City Chiefs that are a national, international subject, and we get to talk about them. So thanks for having me. Keep up the great work. An honor to talk to all the listeners out there. Hope everybody's ready for school. Have a good time. Be a great American, and let's get ready for some football. Thanks for having me, Kevin. Just remind everybody and myself what days you want me, and I'll be there to talk.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, he is Stan Weber. He is the best. He is absolutely the best football analyst you will find anywhere, anytime, and we love having Stan on, and we will check with him a little bit later in the week. We'll preview the Chiefs' next game coming up. It is all brought to you by our friends at Fry Orthodontics. Did you see Dr. Jeremy's television commercials yesterday during the Chiefs game with the running mascot teeth through the field? Teeth love us. I love that spot. It's fun. Fry Orthodontics has a little bit of fun. You know what? Their television commercial being that fun and that funny is reflective of their treatment. Really, it's the way they want it to be. They want it to be fun when you come to Fry Orthodontics. Because nobody really looks forward to going to the orthodontist, right? So when you get there, they want it to be a happy place, a fun place. And that may sound like a small thing, but it is a really big thing when you're going in for your scheduled treatment. And I love the way Jeremy has built that way. And it's just so reflective of who and what they are. It's fryorthodontics.com. Your first appointment is free. 13 locations in the area. Get your smile for life at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Cross Kitchens KC, my buddy, my buddy and my neighbor, T-Bone, he's remodeled his entire basement. Now they've decided to tear out a couple of back walls and put in some accordion doors and things like that to walk out onto their patio. They thought their project was done, and then they said, hey, Tim, what about this? And he goes, well, sure, we can keep working if you want. And so he is. Flexibility is a key with your remodeler, that they're not locked in on something else, that they can finish what you want to do. And when you see something as it's going, you say, hey, I want to think about this or try this. And he's totally open and flexible with that. Tim's awesome like that. My friends were telling me this weekend how much of a pleasure it's been to work with Tim and his family owned and operated business, Cross Kitchens. They're Kansas City's remodeler, crosskitchenskc.com. And Advanced Medical Imaging, see what's inside. Jessica and I were going for a walk this weekend, and she said we had a little Cabo with us. She says, isn't it about time for us to get our heart scans? And I said, I think it was November of last year, and she's going to be looking it up this week, exactly when it was. But yeah, we're going to go back and get the heart scan done. It's time for a physical. You can do it all in one place. They actually have a family medical practice there attached right next to Advanced Medical Imaging. So I do it all right there. I go see Dr. Short over at the offices there at Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. If you'd like to schedule an appointment for an MRI or a CT scan, you don't have to wait 3 weeks. When your doctor says, go here, and you call them and they go, well, that's 3 weeks away, why would you wait? If you think you have a tumor or a problem or your shoulder hurts or your knee blew out, why would you wait 3 weeks to get an MRI or a CT scan? Call Advanced Medical Imaging, 785-856-0224, online at medimageks.com. And, of course, Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing and Construction. It rained a bunch on Sunday. If you got water issues, give them a call. Get that free roof inspection. 913-384-2680. Online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck's team is available 24/7 for emergencies so you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed or inspected the roof over your head. All right, a lot of stuff going on in news we want to touch on here. Appreciate Stan, and obviously a lot of football up front on this Monday, but this is an awesome story from sort of the news world, but sort of this is more news than sports. Everybody remembers Enes Kanter Freedom. He's now Enes Freeman Freedom, the former basketball player that the NBA has essentially blackballed. Over the weekend, Enes Freedom came out and said, well, what if I just decide, since the NBA has blackballed me because he was critical of China having slaves and they're murderous in Turkey and things like that, because he has a comment that the NBA doesn't like, they booted him. And I would love it if he went through on this, if this was not a, if this was not just something he's saying, if he actually did this, this would be the coolest thing ever. It really would be. Because the NBA owns the WNBA. There is no WNBA without the NBA. So Enes Freeman said over the weekend, quote, should I put on a wig, identify as a woman, and start dominating the WNBA? Because the man can still play and he's 7 feet tall. And I love that. Should I put on a wig, identify as a woman, and start dominating the NBA? You don't even have to do that. Just grow your hair out a little bit and color it pink. Just color it pink. Make sure you're clean shaven every day. Maybe put a little something under your eyes when you go play. Start dressing a little more femininely when you arrive at the arena. You know, wear something. You could really kind of dress like one of these alternative lifestyle dudes. They look effeminate. That's fine. Just dress like that. You've seen them. Like those little yellow shorts that we used to wear like in the 70s that are really tight. The ball huggers. Those really yellow things. And then you could wear like a rainbow tank top. And just come to the arena like that with earrings on? Yes, that's easy. Enes Freedom, please do this for all of us. Please do this. Because if he did and he said, I identify as a woman, if he just said it, really all you got to do is say it. Nobody really knows. Nobody knows what kind of junk you got. Nobody knows about your genitals anymore. It's just identity, right? Gender identity. Identify who you want. Let's call them on this. And then if the NBA does not, no team allows you to play in the WNBA, now we got a hell of a story. Here's a man that's identifying as a woman and the WNBA won't have him. How great would that be? Somebody has to do this. Somebody has to call them out. I hope Enes Freedom actually tries this. I think he could make a powerful statement in this country and offer up real change if he did it. And demonstrate the absolute silliness and zaniness of this transgender in sports thing. I would give anything for Enes Freedom to actually do this. Come on, Enes, go do it. In Hawaii, the governor is blaming global warming on the fires that have destroyed Maui, $6 billion worth. That's low. I'm going to tell you right now, $6 billion is low. We've got about 90 dead and 1,000 people missing, if you can believe that, from these wildfires in Hawaii. This was not climate change or global warming. There was a hurricane hundreds of miles away, and they knew high winds were coming. A Lahaina couple who lost their home, sounds like maybe they're either lawyers or really smart or well-to-do, has filed a class action lawsuit against the power company in Hawaii, saying that the power company is to blame here. When the high winds came and the fire started, they never reduced the juice in the power lines. That they were full power when 70-mile-an-hour winds were coming. And their assertion is this would not have been as bad as it was if a wildfire came down, the power lines that broke were fully juiced and started more fires. And then more lines broke and they were fully juiced and they started fires. This is going to be a really important story to follow over the next couple of years because the people on the left are going to try to blame climate, and these folks are saying, we watched power lines snap. We know what Hawaii Electric did. They did not reduce the power and the juice in that. They should have cut power off when the wind was coming. They should have cut it off or reduced it dramatically as what was going through those lines, and they filed a lawsuit on behalf of themselves and anyone in Maui in the same situation. So it's a class action lawsuit, and we applaud them for doing that. That's a pretty cool thing. Also over the weekend, Chuck Todd on NBC News about Hunter Biden and the Joe Biden businesses and the business scandal said, quote, Hunter Biden, quote, could damage Biden pretty seriously, unquote, in this election. The Democrats are starting to say things that they never say. We saw a special counsel appointed now in the Hunter Biden situation. So they went from a sweetheart plea deal to a slap on the wrist, go on about your way, that David Weiss was in charge of, to a judge saying, this is a joke, get your butt out of here, go get a job, and clean your act up, stay off drugs. And now what? Now they've appointed a special counsel, which is a joke, because the special counsel is the guy that was more than willing to just give him a slap on the wrist. But they feel like they're forced to. It's also going to provide some immunity and give them, I guess, authority over the House of Representatives. So this will provide a little bit of immunity or shelter for Hunter Biden and Joe Biden as the Republicans are coming after him. And that's all this is. The special counsel after Hunter Biden isn't going to do anything. They just did this to protect themselves from the House of Representatives. That's it. Because the Republicans were coming after him. So there's a scam going on there, but there's clearly people looking at this saying on the left, we think Joe Biden won because he was going to restore calm and no controversy and scandal to the White House. And if that's gone, what's the difference between Biden and Trump? If they're both quote unquote scandalous, there's no reason to vote one way or another in the middle for one of these candidates. Well, the difference is the Trump scandals are made up. The Biden scandal is real. That's just honest to God, the truth. That's not even me being a partisan here. It's just the truth. They just make stuff up about Trump and have forever and ever and ever. And none of it's true. And none of it happened. And they just keep doing it. And yet we have hundreds of millions of dollars of favors and inducement and influence peddling scandal between Joe and Hunter Biden that is real, that everybody on the left just wants to treat like is nothing. That it's no big deal at all. Crazy world we live in. It's going to be a fun week of podcasts. It's great to have you here. It's fun to have football to talk about, no doubt. If you're looking for new TVs this football season, B-Stock is the place to go. B-Stock.net in Olathe. Chris sent me an email, said they've got a selection of B-grade TVs. B-grade means these are dirt cheap, like giveaway. They're not like A-grade. They come out of the box, they're new, but they had something happen, and maybe there's a couple of pixels out in the upper right-hand corner or something. So they will sell B-grade TVs. They almost give them away. They're like, we could just about give these away. So they're perfect for a guest room, your kids, a dorm room, or an outdoor TV because you're not spending hardly any money on it. And if it only lasts 5 years, it only lasts 5 years. B-grade TVs are a great way to get a television that's rarely used or is used outdoors or in a place that's not that important, and you barely pay anything. I got a bunch of them right now at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. And my friend, Dr. Bill Bush, he had an infomercial on channel. I was up early Saturday morning. I was up early and I was watching the news to see if it was going to rain or whether we could go to the pool on Saturday. And it was weird. The news ended at like, it was channel 41. And I think the news at this hour ended at like 7:50. I'm like, 7:50? They'll say, we'll see you back again. Actually, it was 6:50, I think. 6:50 or 7:50, I don't remember which. And they said, we'll see you at the top of the hour. They were going to go 10 minutes without news. I'm like, this is a long commercial break. No, it was like an infomercial for Dr. Bill Bush, and it was so awesome and well done. And he talked about his practice and how they do dental procedures for babies that are having trouble with teething and nursing and things of that nature. There's so many things that Dr. Bush was talking about that he does that I've never spoken about on this podcast. He really is amazing. It's no wonder he's an award-winning dentist. They do everything. I mean, it was really interesting and informational to see this. And it was probably 8 minutes long. And it was very well done. And he was interviewed on there. And they showed different testimonials from patients and stuff. This guy really is at the forefront of dentistry in Kansas City. He is Kansas City's best dentist. I have no doubt that this is the place to go in Kansas City. And he's a great conservative. He's one of us. He's the dentist to the Chiefs. Why isn't he your dentist? Call North Kansas City Dental at 816-471-2911. That's 816-471-2911. Online at nkcdental.com. Again, really looking forward to this week of podcasts. We got a lot more pro football games coming up this weekend in the NFL preseason and then college football. I think Navy and Notre Dame play a week from Saturday. We got all kinds of good stuff coming at it. It's on. And I think you can probably tell I'm pretty darn excited about it right here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.